Good afternoon, everybody. 下午好。
If you have your Bibles, if you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 16, this will be our passage for today.
请大家打开圣经，请翻开前书一章十二节到十六节，这就是我们今天的信息的经文。
I'm going to read this passage in English first, and then Shiba will read it in Chinese.
你先用英文读，然后再用中文。
First Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord.Because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus.The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
提摩太前书一章十二节到十六节，我感谢那给我力量的我们主耶稣基督，因他与我有忠心，派我服侍他。我从前亵渎神、逼迫人、辱骂人们，然而我还蒙了怜悯，因我是不明、不信、不明白的时候而做，并且我主的恩是格外丰盛。使我在基督耶稣里有信心和爱心。基督耶稣降世为要拯救罪人，这话是可信，是十分可佩服。在罪人中我是罪人，然而我蒙了怜悯，是因耶稣基督要在我的罪魁身上显明他一切的能耐，给后来信他得永生的人做榜样。
Let's pray. Lord, we pray even as we come before you, as we prepare our hearts to hear your words. I pray that, Lord, you would open our hearts so that we can understand your words. We pray that your words that is alive.May penetrate our hearts and may convict our sins. So that we may repent and we may continue to seek you in our lives. So we come before you, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Okay, one of the most famous hymns that were written in the past was Amazing Grace, and this was the hymn that we sung earlier. Now this song was written in 1779 by John Newton.
这首歌是在1779年写出来的，作者是约翰牛顿。
And he wrote the words out of his own personal experience.
他是根据他个人的经历写的这首诗。
Now he was born on July 24th, 1725 in London.
他出生于伦敦，在七月二十四号。
to a godly mother and an irreligious seafaring father, father who's a sailor. So when he grew up, he was pressed into the Royal Navy and became a sailor himself, just like the father. Now, despite of his mother's godly influence, he was never safe and eventually became involved in slave trading. So on one night, a violent storm battered the ship so severely that he became frightened. And he begged for mercy from God. Now this incident in the ship changes his life. And he eventually gave his life to God. In his latter days, when he's much older, he was so convicted of his participation of slave trading that he joined William Wilberforce in opposing it. Now I think the past few years they made a movie out of it. It's called Amazing Grace. It's a story about William Wilberforce fighting to oppose slave trading. And John Newton's character was also in that movie. So the content of the song Amazing Grace was written to depict his own personal journey to salvation. And he identified himself as the worst of sinners and a wretched soul. And that only the grace of God could save him. Now this hymn was so popular that it was regularly sung during the Second Great Awakening in the early 19th century. And of course today, Christians and secular people are well versed with this hymn.
今天呢，基督徒甚至属世的人对这首歌的词也非常熟悉。But
there's a growing trend among people today to change the words of the hymn to suit their own particular agenda.
那么，但是呢，也确实有一股潮流呢，人们呢要把这个歌词呢稍微改一改，使他们自己的意愿能够稍微符合他们自己的意愿。
See, people downplay the powerful words of depravity because they do not view themselves as bad or as worse of sinners. But if you downplay your own depravity, if you don't think that you are as bad as you think you are, you will likely downplay the amazing grace of God. Now, what do the song Amazing Grace has to do with this passage from Paul? Just as John Newton speaks of what great sinner he is,
那么就像约翰牛顿 他讲他自己是个多么大的罪人。
Paul too preaches on the very same thing.
保罗这里也是在讲同样的事。
While they recognize their own depravity, they also know that the great amazing grace of God that saved and sustained their lives.
他们知道他们自己的败坏，他们也知道就是这个奇异的恩典。
You see, Paul wrote 1 Timothy after his release from prison in Rome. But he was very soon arrested again and then executed in Rome. As you can imagine, this letter was written in his later years. After around 30 years of ministry since his conversion. Now, if you are familiar with Paul's letters, in all, most of his letters in the New Testament, you can tell that he is very personal in his writings. Because he wants whomever he is writing to learn from his conversion, his struggles, and his joy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he calls the church of Corinth to imitate him, not because he considered himself to be great.
在哥林多前书十一章一节，他求哥林多教会的弟兄姐妹来效仿他，不是因为他认为他自己有多么的伟大。
But because he follows the example of Christ. He said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." See, while all his letters that are written to the audience of his time, yet his message is timeless and is applicable even in our time today. Therefore, as we read this passage, let us also take heed of Paul's timeless truth of God's amazing grace. Now, what are these truths? First, he talked about grace that leads to gratitude in service. Since his dramatic conversion, Paul had become a prominent apostle of God, whose mission is to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul knew that without God's grace, his service will be futile. Therefore, he said in verse 12, that I thank him who has given me strength because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service.
保罗知道，如果没有神的恩典的话，那他的服事是无效的、无用的。所以他说：“我感谢那给我力量的，我们主耶稣基督，因他与我有忠心，派我服事他。”
When it comes to serving the Lord, believers need divine enablement.
我们服事神，我们需要神的帮助。
And Paul had been thus enabled himself.Now, you see, his effectiveness as a missionary did not depend on his natural talent or his first-rate education or following the latest Christian fashion or fads.
那么他不是有果效，不是因为他个人有很就很聪明，或者他的那个教育非常好，或者呢他也学习当今基督教的一些潮流。
Rather, he was spiritually empowered.
但是他确确实实在属灵生命上他有神的帮助。
But make no mistake, Paul is indeed a capable person because he's a well-educated Pharisee.
那么当然，保罗确确实实是很聪明的一个人，他的教育作为一个法利赛人也是非常好的。
He is like compared him to today, he is like a Harvard grad or, you know, a Cambridge grad.
那么和今天属世的比较呢，他也许就是像这哈佛大学的毕业生或者剑桥大学的毕业生一样。
And he was also a leader in the execution of Christians.
而且呢，在逼迫基督徒这方面，他也是一个领袖。
But after his conversion, he knew that his own capabilities will have no significance without being spiritually empowered by God.
但是他生命改变以后，他知道他自己个人的力量在神面前都没有用的，只有圣灵帮助以后才有用。
You know, one of his most famous verse that a lot of Christians would know and a lot of Christians would quote is Philippians 4:13.
那你知道他一个很有名的那个金句就是在腓立比书四章十三节。
He said, "I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me."
在四章十三节他这么说：“我靠着那加给我力量的耶稣基督，凡事都能做。”
So what does this tell us then?
那么这告诉我们什么
？Anyone who desires to serve God in any capacity, in any small form, must be led by the Spirit. Otherwise, he is only serving himself.
任何人他想服侍神，不管大事还是小事，都必须有圣灵的引导，否则他就在服侍他自己。
Perhaps what comes true most strongly in this verse is Paul's thankfulness to God for the privilege to serve him.
那这段经文还有一个更强的信息，就是保罗的感恩，他感谢神给他服侍的这个权利。
He never took God's grace to appoint him for granted, and he was humble despite of his credentials as an apostle.
他还很谦卑，尽管他有那么好的教育，他知道是神指派了他做这个服侍。
So when you consider this gem of truth, that this grace that led to Paul's gratitude.
那么请大家再思想这个金句，就是段金句，使保罗有感恩的心。
What goes through your mind?
那么在我们的心里有什么样的？
Do we have the same mindset as Paul when it comes to serving God?
那么在服侍神上面，我们跟保罗有一样的心智吗？
You know, perhaps you may think that I'm not a pastor or any significant person in a church.
也许你会想，我又不是牧师，我又不是教会的领导人。
Or I am young.
或者说我还年轻。
Therefore, you know, I will leave all this to the grown-ups.
那么如果我还很年轻，我就让成人做这件事吧。
Therefore, you know, we have this perception that you know, we are exempted from serving God then.
那么我们就会有这个心态，你说，哎呀，那在服侍神这方面，我们就不需要做事了。
But you are clearly wrong.
那你就错了。
Anyone who is a believer, anyone who professes faith in Jesus, must serve him.
任何人，他只要是信主的，他只要相信耶稣基督是他救主，就必须服侍神。
Otherwise, he does not understand what it means to be a believer.
如果不是这样的话，你就不懂得你的基督徒是什么样的。
It is true that, you know, to become a believer, to become a Christian, you need to believe in the Lord Jesus.
那么当然我们知道
But becoming a Christian is not an end deal where you no longer need to do anything else. Becoming a Christian is just the beginning of a new life. What comes after that is a long line of service. You know, I was once captivated by a sermon by John Piper. He said that as Christians, there's no such thing as retirement. Because you are a follower of God until you die. And as a follower of God, you will be serving Him until you die. And He desires to be a pastor until He dies. But of course, not all of us are pastors, isn't it? But we are still a believer, and what does that mean then? You know, in the Bible, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and you will also preach my gospel to people who have not known me. And as a believer, as a Christian, you come together to worship God each week, and therefore you're participating in some sort of a service. And even Paul himself warned us in 2 Corinthians 5:10 about services and behaviors that as a Christian, we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, and each one of us may receive what is due, whether good or evil. So basically it's telling you that we as Christians, that we who have accepted Jesus, have responsibilities in His kingdom. Our responsibilities may not be big, or it may not be significant to our eyes, but it is to God. So as Christians, we cannot be passive, and we must never be passive in our lives. So this is Paul's first truth about God's amazing grace. Secondly, Paul talks about the grace, the amazing grace of God that transforms lives. You know, while verse 12 talks about God's grace in Paul's ministry, verses 13 and 14 speaks of God's grace in his conversion. He described his previous life as a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. You know, he was Saul, the terrible persecutor, claiming to do God's work. See, in other words, he is the worst nightmare for any first century Christians at that time. But on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, something remarkable happened. God saved him and turned his life upside down. You know, as he described his former life before Christ, he was a wretched person, but when he encountered Christ, he received mercy. This is a remarkable story of God's grace overcoming a man's sin. In his ignorance and unbelief, he thought he was doing God's work. But go
ahead.
But when Jesus appeared to him in Damascus, he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" What does this tell us? He who claims to be a spiritual teacher of God, yet he did not recognize Jesus. And this shows you that he was indeed none other than a false teacher at that time. Now, there is none more dangerous today than false teachers who dress up in sheep clothing, and in actual fact are wolves in disguise. That was Paul's life before. But that's why Paul warned us about this in the beginning part of this chapter in 1 Timothy. He warned us about false teachers that would come. And the Apostle Peter also mentioned about false teachers in 2 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And of course, Jesus himself also spoke of this in Matthew 24, verse 4 to 5, that the numbers of false teachers will continue to intensify and increase as the world comes to an end. But how do we recognize false prophets and teachers then? Only by immersing ourselves in the Word of God can we recognize these false teachings. Because these teachings may sound right in the beginning, but ultimately it will contradict the truths of the Bible. So you see, it was symbolic that Saul, the false teacher, the great persecutor of Christians, was struck blind at Damascus. He was struck blind so that Christ, the Lord that he did not recognize, may open his eyes.
He didn't recognize, so his eyes were closed.
That Christ may open his eyes towards the real God. But you see, Paul received mercy because God is merciful, not because he's that great, because obviously, as you look at his life, there was nothing great about him when he was a persecutor. See, Paul received mercy because God is merciful. As Titus 3, verse 5 says, puts it, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. See, this is the amazing grace of God that transformed a life, a wretched man like Paul. Who was once blind to his own ambition. But now he sees the truth of God. Indeed, grace was not the only thing that Paul received, but in verse 14, he said, "The grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." So, what else did he receive then? Faith and love. You see, even faith and love comes from God and not something we ourselves can generate. Paul did not say, because of my faith and love, God shows his grace to me. Rather, he said God's grace came to him when he was helplessly lost in his religion, and the grace then generated faith and love in him. The grace then generated faith and love in him so that he may trust and love God. Thirdly, Paul speaks of a grace that convicts our hearts. You know, Paul's conversion is an amazing testament of God's grace. But his story is one that we can all relate in some degree. He was once lost, but now is found. And this speaks to all of us who experience the saving grace of God. Like Paul, we were once blasphemers and ignorant to the truth of the gospel. But God reaches out to us by his mercy and open our eyes to the spiritual blindness we were in.
Now,
Do not think for once that you accepted Jesus, you chose Jesus on your own account.
那么大家记住，不要想是我接受了耶稣基督，是我接受了，我相信了耶稣基督。
You see, something has to be done to us first before we can even respond to God.
那么实际上是有一些事先在我们身上做出来，这样我们才能够向神做好回应。
We were sinners saved by grace.
我们是罪人，是神的恩典救我们。
And this is why Paul acknowledged in verse 15 that his saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance.
那这个就是保罗为什么在十五节这话是可信的，是十分可佩服。
What was he saying? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
那他说什么呢？他就耶稣基督来到这个世上是救罪人。
And this is a universal declaration that all Christians agree and hold to.
那么这也是全世界的基督徒都同意的。
You know, this is the ultimate good news for all people, otherwise we will remain dead to sin.
那么这也是全球人的福音，否则的话我们都还在罪中。
But this statement that Paul made did not end just that, because he added a phrase to make this gospel personal to him.
那么这段话并没有停留在这里。 保罗在后面还加了一句，和他个人的生命是有关系的。
He knows that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, but so do many non-believers.
他知道世界，耶稣基督来到这个世上是救罪人，那么很多不信耶稣基督的人也这么认为。
What do I mean?
那么我这里有什么意思呢？
Now it's easy for us to forget that in every church today, there are many non-believers who attend it.
大家也应该会知道，在现代全球有很多教会，但是在教会里进行敬拜的，并不见得都是基督徒，有很多不信主的人。Anyone
who have not personally accepted Jesus in their hearts are non-believers, even if they are born in a Christian family, or they read the Bible regularly, or they come to church regularly.
如果你自己在你自己的心里还没有接受耶稣基督，你还不是个信徒。
You know, why did Paul end the statement, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners? Why did he end the statement with, of whom I am foremost?
那么在十五节，保罗是这么说的，基督耶稣降世是为了拯救罪人，但是
Because he acknowledges and confesses that he is one of those sinners. Paul literally confesses himself as the worst of sinners, as the foremost and the worst of sinners because of what he did in the past. You know, this phrase, the worst of sinners or whom I am foremost, is one that many in the past have identified themselves with.
这句话在罪人中我是罪魁，在历史上有很多人都认同。
We read earlier that John Newton, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, had called himself that. But there are also others who said that too.
我们在约翰牛顿，启恩典这个圣诗里面。
Even a guy like John Bunyan, who wrote the famous book Pilgrim's Progress, which is a children's Christian book, had also identified himself with the statement of Paul that he calls himself the worst of sinners.
就是约翰本人，他写的那个《天路历程》这本书的这个人，他也承认他自己曾经是个罪魁。
See, if we only think that this personal statement of Paul is a reference to people who only committed grievous sin, then we fail to understand God's grace.
如果我们在这里看到这个在罪人中我是个罪魁这句话，好像只是针对保罗而说的话，那我们就不懂得神的奇妙。
Seeing in God's eyes, all of us are equal sinners. It doesn't matter what you have done. We are all equal sinners. There's no rank in God's category. You and I are either sinless or sinful. But since no one can call himself or herself sinless, then we must be sinful. Paul's statement is a means to invite us to put ourselves in his shoes and repeat it before God. He calls us to acknowledge that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But I am the worst of sinners. You are the worst of sinners. Now all of us are the worst of sinners. You know, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners is a general statement that most people would know. But if you do not apply it into your lives, if you do not admit the last part of it, then it is just a fact and not a personal truth in your life. You know, I don't know what sin you have committed in the past or are still committing, but we are, you know, the worst of sinners in our own situation, in our own category. Now, if we are worse of sinners, then it is bad news for us. And you see, every other religion says that people can become good enough for God. But if we're not good enough like the Bible said we are, then there will be no hope for us. We're completely lost. However, what is most remarkable about Christianity is that it gives hope to bad people like you and me. See, Christianity says that you cannot be saved if you are not lost. You cannot be freed unless you are enslaved. If we were not dead to sin, we were not controlled by sin, then Jesus Christ would not have to die. Then there is no amazing grace. Finally, Paul speaks of this amazing grace that is powerful. Our last point. You know, why does the apostle speak so highly of God's grace? What is so amazing about God's grace? Now, he had already spoken earlier about his gratitude towards God for his grace in sustaining his ministry, in helping his ministry. He also realized that his former life was one that opposes God rather than serving Him. But through the grace of God, He was shown mercy for his ignorance. And this result in his confession that he's the worst of sinners, a wretched person that is lost in sin, and one needed to be saved by Jesus Christ. So what is so amazing about God's grace? You know, Paul said in verse 16, I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, as the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
那么保罗在第十六节怎么说？然而我蒙了怜悯，是因为耶稣基督要在我的罪魁身上显明他一切的忍耐，给后来信他得永生的人做榜样。
What does this mean?
那么这有什么意思呢？
If God can transform the worst of sinners into an apostle, then there must be no limit to God's grace, to the power of His grace. Nothing is too hard for God. Certainly no man is too lost or too sinful or too evil to be saved by God. His grace and mercy can melt the heart of a murderer and a sworn enemy of Christ to become a servant of God and a preacher of His word. You know, Paul is like the Hitler of our day. You know, this is a great assurance and a reminder to all of us that nothing is impossible for our God. You know, he wants us to look at his conversion, at his life as an example of God's amazing grace to a sinner like you and I. You know what? I don't know, but what more encouragement do you need when Paul's message here is so clear to us? It almost seems that, you know, there's nothing else that needs to be said except to believe in God, the God of grace, who sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us, the worst of sinners. And so to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son, who willingly took our place on the cross, and through His death, we are free from the bondage of sin. You know, Philip Ryken, who is a former pastor of 10 Presbyterian Church, said this. Everyone who does not, he said, it is not enough to believe you are a sinner unless you also take Christ Jesus for a Savior. Everyone who does believe in Him receives eternal life. You know, I don't know if you have spoken to some people who thinks that they are so grieved by their sin, whom they recognize that they are so sinful, but yet, you know, they could not find an answer to their sin. You see, only by you admitting that you are a sinner and receiving Jesus as one who died for you, who is your Savior, then you can be safe. You know, those of us who are believers, who have received Him, must also continue to remember our conversion. And to give gratitude to Him for our salvation and service, just like Paul. You know, remember the amazing grace that saved a wretch like you and me. That found us when we are lost. That opened our eyes when we were blind. And it is this grace that taught our hearts to fear the Lord. And it is in this grace that would lead us home to God. And it is this grace that will secure our relationship with God forever and ever. Now, what's so amazing about God's grace? You and I will have to answer it on our own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we read this passage from Paul, we cannot help but to know and acknowledge that your grace, it's amazing. We have read and seen the amazing conversion of his life and how your mercy reached out to him even when he was a sinner. But this is not just a nice story. This is not just a great story to read. But it's also a story that should speak to us, that should remind us of our sinful nature, like Paul. We may think that we may not be murderers like Paul. But yet, in your eyes, God, we are all equal sinners. And we are all equal sinners that needs a Savior. Lord, we all know that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But we must also confess that we ourselves are the worst of sinners. And we need you to save us, Lord, because we cannot do it on our own. We are dead. And we need your breath, your CPR in our lives. So save us, Lord.
神啊，拯救我们吧。
Save us who have not given our lives to you, Lord.
如果我们这里还没有把我们生命给你的，主啊，就请拯救我们。
And those of us who have, that we may continue to remember our conversion, to remember the grace that you have given to us.
如果我们已经信任你，那就让我们记住我们的生命是怎么改变。
That even in our later age, like Paul, that we can still be reminded of the day that you saved us. We thank you and commit all this in Jesus' name.
Amen.